before coming, I opened Ramana's talks to whatever page would open to see what he wanted me to talk about today. And the point was, only a jnani can understand another jnani. And the point was elaborated further in the dialogue. That the questions that the ego asks to try to understand reality are futile questions. They're the wrong questions. And they cannot understand the answers. Because the paradigm of understanding that the ego operates in is embedded in unreality. And so not only can the ego not understand one who is self-realized, but the ego cannot understand its own incoherence. It cannot understand its own entrapment in a false context, a false paradigm, a false view of reality that is perspectival and that is based in the limited experiences of the body. And so in order to reach a state of coherence, there must be that shift from the attempt to understand to the level of inner standing, the interiorization of consciousness, which is equivalent to the death of the ego. It's the disidentification from that level of consciousness that is established in language and in external perceptions of multiplicity. And at that level of soul awareness, there is a unification of the field of consciousness. And everything can be recognized as a symbol. And once you shift from fact to symbol, you have an entirely different view of the significance of events. But then you shift higher to the overstanding of the real self. And there is a recognition that even the symbols are simply manifestations of the one real that cannot be symbolized. They are reflections, but they do not contain the essence. And once the essence has been achieved, the nectar of immortality, the bliss of the realization that neither time nor space, matter, energy, suffering, or even happiness on the physical plane are real. That liberation from the entire melodrama of life is accompanied by the understanding that none of it ever happened to the self. And the freedom from any of the effects of the ego's past, any of its traumas, any of its dissociations and fragmentations and self-attacks and its sense of inadequacy and lostness and paranoia, once all of that is recognized and an unreality and it falls away, one would never come back into it. And so it is a permanent conclusion to the game of life. But once one recognizes and is completely free from the illusion, the absolute, the timeless, includes time within itself. But it is not unconscious of time's true nature as eternity. And that realization is never lost. Time, however, does come to a conclusion for everyone. I happened to read yesterday that the Rolling Stones are doing a tour of Europe now, if anyone remembers them from the Jurassic Age. Apparently they're still very popular in their 80s, and if they aren't the ultimate puer eternus, I don't know who could be an example of that. But anyway, they're apparently doing very well. And their most popular song, it seems, from this short review that I happen to look at, is one from the 60s called Baby, You're Out of Time. And I think it's clear why it's so popular, because especially in Europe now, they know they're out of time. The crunch is hitting. The social order has committed suicide. They've cut themselves off from their energy supply. They've cut themselves off from the food supply. They've cut themselves off from everything required for survival. And they've done it to themselves. They didn't even require an enemy. And they see that the crunch is happening, and it's, of course, spreading. And the suicide of nations and the murder of nations is happening and will continue to exponentially increase with wars and with other sudden events of catastrophe. And so we know that we're out of time. But a yogi is someone who gets out of time before they're out of time. And that's the question. Have you exited from time and from time's trajectory toward destruction, and instead taken the higher trajectory to liberation and salvation of consciousness? This is the only service that can be done, and the only self-serving that is real. Everything on the ego level that seems like self-serving is self-defeating. Whatever egoic values one has been indoctrinated into, whether the capitalist desire for money, sex, drugs, rock and roll, Rolling Stones concerts, whatever it is one was indoctrinated to believe was valuable, is turning out to be completely empty and valueless, in fact, fictional. If we do not turn now to the real before the last moments of life and of peace remain, at least relative peace, there will be no possibility of getting off of the wheel of life and death and suffering and illusion. And so this is the moment to bring all of one's willpower to bear upon the transcendence of the ego mind and the elimination of mental chatter. And when that chatter is eliminated, fear is eliminated and desire is eliminated. But we must not indulge the ego. It is extremely important now, no matter how badly you were traumatized in the past, not to bring those traumas into the present, not to be hypersensitive, not to replay negative interactions with people and justify it because you were hurt in the past. And not to be furious because someone doesn't understand you and doesn't realize how badly you've been hurt. We mustn't attack each other, either mentally or behaviorally. We must have mercy and compassion on all of those who are ignorant of our own needs, desires, fears, traumatic insecurities, or need to create a conflict, a fight, a difficulty, and a need to not adapt to a situation in order to prove our specialness as someone who is a rebel or an invalid or a special genius in some way. All of these particularities that the ego tries to bring into its self-presentation for the other is simply a display of its own inability to come out of a trance of unreality. And it is imperative now not to create interpersonal conflicts, not to project what are actually internal conflicts into the field of karma, because that will work against your ability to meditate and to find peace. You have to first understand that all of the conflicts are in your own mind. They are not conflicts with others. And then recognize that those conflicts are simply your own internal splits and the occupation by the images of others and their domination over the ego in the past that now causes a fury and a depression and anxiety and all of the other symptoms of egoic consciousness. And the ego today, because it belongs to the category of mass man, mass humanity, no longer has the depth and the interiority that the older levels of ego used to have. The medieval and the classical egos were still connected to soul. They were connected to God. They had a depth of capacity to tolerate, to accommodate, and to sacrifice, and a capacity to reflect and introspect that is largely absent from the postmodern ego. It can chatter about things, but it cannot coherently understand. It has many big words in its vocabulary, but it's like a parrot in how it uses them. It cannot get to the essence of meaning. And so it continues to struggle with language within itself, trying to understand itself, but never able to, because the depth level of its being is not the level on which the struggle is even taking place. The ego has become completely irrelevant to consciousness because it is an unconscious and robotic mechanism. And because of its lack of depth and consciousness, it has nothing to say, nothing to offer. And it feels like a cardboard image of itself, an imposter. And it cannot, therefore, function adequately in social situations. And it becomes very frightened, and then it becomes either motivated by fear, aggression, or some deviation into a repetition of a past mode of malfunctioning. And so if we do not leave the ego behind, it is going to create more suffering and prevent the act of liberation from being fully achieved. So that false identity must be dropped. It cannot be healed. It cannot be uplifted. It cannot even be sublimated into the soul, because it is only an incoherent mechanism of avoidance. And so it is when we stop avoiding and we face everything directly, but face it with wisdom and love that are in the soul, not in the ego, that there is the possibility of healing. And then at the level of the self, because the soul is capable of sacrifice and is capable of immersion and love for God and for complete union with God. The soul is capable when it lets go of its sickness, and the soul's sickness is the ego. It is the tumor in the soul that must be dissolved. And if we do not eliminate that, it will kill us. So we mustn't let the tumor get larger. We mustn't encourage the mental chatter. We must engage in radiation therapy by turning within to the radiance of the Supreme Self and let it completely wash out with the divine light the mental illusions and images and agonies of the ego. And only then will the ecstasy of the real emerge from the shadows, from the darkness, from behind both Jekyll and Hyde, and the beauty and the divine power and majesty and glory of our true nature will be revealed. This is the moment for the revelation. And the revelation is the revelation of redemption and of the fact that we were never unredeemed and unliberated, but that was only an illusory film that we had projected ourselves into and identified with its characters. But we have never been that. We have always been the free infinite intelligence, and that power of freedom must now be activated through our will to ascend, to return to our original, eternal, infinite self. This is the one choice that we have. The ego has no free will except to make this one choice. It can choose the upper death drive, or else it will be drawn downward by the lower. This choice must be made wholeheartedly and must be made while there is time to fully activate the power to uplift the consciousness into the absolute, before all of the negative energies of the phenomenal plane engulf the soul with too much terror for it to be able to meditate. Take advantage of this final opportunity for self-liberation. The power of grace is with all of those who wish to receive it. May you know the peace that comes of letting go of the ego identity and the knot that ties one to body consciousness, and to know the freedom to ascend from ego into soul. And may you know the peace that comes in soul consciousness with the awareness of the perfection of all that is and the beauty of the real, and be drawn by the presence of the light of God into the source of peace. And may you know that supreme peace that is the source, and know it directly as thyself, the absolute, the infinite consciousness that has never been born, created, or changed from the eternal, blissful light of total presence. And the intelligence that creates, sustains, and eliminates all worlds without being affected at all. And that abides in absolute love.